Chapter 8. What Griffin did next. Dr. Kemp could not believe that Griffin was so cruel, but he wanted to hear about his procedure, so he remained quiet. You can see how hard I worked, can't you? It was nearly 4 years now, and my money could not last forever. My landlord, a mean and horrible man, did not like me. He kept asking what I was doing and knocked on my door day and night. What was I doing? Why was I alone? Could he hear a cat in my room? He asked so many questions, but I refused to answer them. The money from my father was nearly finished, so I knew it was time for the next stage of my science investigation. It was my turn. Afterwards, I could leave and my problems at Great Portland Street would be over. I could go wherever I wanted and take whatever I wanted. The world would be mine, you see. I can understand why you needed to escape, Dr. Kemp replied. Yes, and I prepared everything. My 3 books described everything I had done, so I sent them away for me to collect later, and I began that evening. I took the medicine which would take all the color out of my blood, and it started. I suffered terribly. It was painful and awful and went on for hours. In the middle of it, I heard a noise, and someone put a piece of paper under my door. When I read it, it said I had to leave the house, so I opened the door, and my landlord was standing there. When he saw me, he cried out, dropped his candle, and ran away down the stairs. I looked in the mirror afterwards and saw that my face was white. As the night passed, a painful night, I saw that my hands, arms, and legs were becoming transparent. Soon, my body was completely clear. My bones, organs, and nerves had all disappeared. I was so exhausted that I fell asleep. When I woke, I knew I had to destroy the evidence, and I broke my equipment and put everything in boxes. I burned the last papers in the fire. Suddenly, I could hear voices whispering outside my room, and I knew the landlord had returned. There were several voices, so I knew he had brought his sons to help him. They were trying to break the door. I turned on the gas and climbed out of the window. Before I left, I started a fire so there would be an explosion, and there would be nothing left in that room. Imagine their astonishment, Kemp. An empty room. Then a fire, and a huge explosion. Now nobody will know what happened in that room in Great Portland Street, except for you, Kemp. You are the only one who knows my story. But the landlord and his sons, protested Dr. Kemp. Maybe they are dead or maybe they survived. I do not know, Kemp, and I do not care. They were horrible men, and the world is a better place without them. The world was not a better place for Griffin as an invisible man on the streets of London, though. His story afterwards was a difficult and challenging one. It was January and a freezing winter, and even invisible men felt the cold. It was easy for him to get clothes, but not easy to escape when he was wearing them. Every time he ate food, it was visible, so he had to be very careful. Griffin's life was hungry and cold, and he was always running away from someone. Finally, he found an old costume shop in a dirty street in Drury Lane. It was full of wigs and old clothes. Its owner was a little old man who lived there alone. In spite of his age, he had extremely good hearing and seemed to sense that someone was in the house, even though Griffin was invisible. When Griffin tried to look at the clothes, get warm by the fire, or eat a little food, he appeared. The old man looked around suspiciously. Rats, he asked himself. I'll get you, rats. Then the old man left the room and returned with a gun. Griffin was horrified when he saw the old man locking every door. Griffin did not want to be captured in this costume shop. No one was going to stop him. He told Kemp that violence was the answer to his problem. I hit him on the head and knocked him down the stairs, and then tied him up, Griffin explained to Kemp. Then I found all the things I needed, like a coat, a hat, some glasses, a fake nose and a beard. I then used bandages to cover up the rest of my invisible face. Now I was ready to face the world. But I realized that life as an invisible man was hard. I needed to be able to change and become visible again. I needed to be able to choose when I was invisible. Then I would have all the advantages of being invisible, but I could also do normal things. I can see that, said Kemp thoughtfully. Is that why you went to Iping?
Exactly, answered Griffin.
Remember, I told you about the 3 books with all my work in them. I collected them and went to the quietest place I could find. I could then do my work in secret. Obviously, it has not been so simple. Did I kill that policeman in Iping?
No, luckily, Kemp told him. It was his fault. I blame all these stupid people, all of them. They get in my way or try to pursue me, and that useless Marvel fellow is the worst one. I will kill them all.
Dr. Kemp stared at his old colleague and then walked towards the window, thinking deeply. Outside, he could see 3 men walking towards the house and realized Colonel Ady was coming. He just needed to keep Griffin talking.
So what are we going to do next?
Griffin was excited and began to describe all his plots and plans. We could go abroad, somewhere like France or Spain. Or we could stay here, and I could threaten to kill people if they did not give me money.
It is easy to kill someone when you're invisible.
Kemp was shocked at the scientist's plans. Why don't you tell the truth?
Show people what you have discovered.
It may help the world in some way.
I can't do anything without my books.
Marvel stole them from me.
Where is he?
Apparently, he is in prison because it is the only place he feels safe, and the books are locked away too.
Griffin became furious. I will kill that stupid man.
I will kill the police at the prison.
I will kill everyone.
What is that noise?
There was a noise from the stairs, the sound of footsteps.
You have betrayed me, Kemp.
Those men are coming for me.
Do you think I am going to let them capture me?
You are stupid like the rest of them.
In a second, Griffin's clothes began moving and soon there was only a pile of them on the floor. Kemp ran towards the door to open it, but he felt a quick movement and then Griffin's invisible hands were around his neck.